We are clearly in the midst of summer, and we are doing very well with casual Sunday. I give you all credit for abiding by casual Sunday. Bob, doing very well, Bob, still. God bless you. So we're introducing a new summer sermon series. It'll be shorter, more to the point, because I want what God has to say to us to be very, very clear. And not lost in the beauty of my wonderful delivery. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But we begin a new summer series titled In for Service. Now, usually, if you are preparing for one of those long summer road trips, you usually take your car in to make sure the oil has been changed, the brakes aren't bad, the coolant is full so the car doesn't overheat and leave you stranded on the road with a whole bunch of people who are blaming you for not getting that stuff checked and why you're stranded on the road. But the premise is that God is leading each of us someplace. God is always leading each of us someplace. For some of us, we've been praying to go to another place in our lives. For some of us, we're on a journey without really thinking or considering it. But we are individually and collectively headed somewhere. But are we ready for the road to get there? For instance, if somebody wants healing, are you ready for the bumps on the road to healing? The anxiety, the surgery, the therapy, the things that come along with it. We all want success, right? Are we ready for the hard work that the road to success demands, the extra work, the diligence, the sacrifices necessary? Or maybe we just are stagnant and in need of a spiritual or life tune-up. Whatever it is, the idea for this series is thus: we are all presently at point A, trying to get to point B. And point B is usually that place that brings us hope and peace and relief and joy and stability. We've been hoping and planning and wishing and praying to get to that point B. But now God is showing us that the distance between the two points will ask a lot of us. And we need to be prepared for the journey. So for the rest of the summer, we will spend time metaphorically with God checking under our hoods. And we're going to start with one of my biggest needs or areas for improvement, and I know for some of you too, patience. Amen. I heard that. Now, next Friday, I will have been your pastor for exactly 3 years. Thank you. But I can say unequivocally, without a shadow of a doubt, that the large majority of us are severely lacking in the patience department. Beginning with me. Right? We are impatient sometimes with our families, our friends, and the political climate that's going on. We're impatient with all the people who descended upon Gwinnett County. That's definitely me. We're impatient about the growth and the turnaround of this church. We're impatient in meetings. We want meetings to end. We're impatient sometimes when Richard makes too many announcements at the end of service. I'm sorry, I've got a lot to say. Forgive me. Why, though? Because we're human. And humans like what they like, and they don't like what they don't like. We want to go from point A to point B, but we want to go there on our timetable. And anything or anyone who hinders us from getting to our point B is an annoyance. But sometimes, when we want to go from point A to point B, God simply says, it's not time to get there yet. And he says that word that we can't stand, that one word. And that one word is wait. And I don't know if there's a more frustrating word in the English language. Waiting throws off our agendas. Waiting throws off our plans. Waiting means that there will be a delay in getting what we want or going where we want to go. And too often, humans just don't want to wait, especially when we feel we can make it happen. And I've seen it time and time again. So have you. Oh, this is a terrible example, but let's go for it. Somebody wants to get married. And they find someone that they want to get married to, but there are red flags all over the place. But they force it because they can. Sometimes God isn't going to stop us when we're impatient, but allow us to suffer the consequences of our actions. God will shout, wait. God will show you those red flags. God will try to stop your speeding by placing red lights on your road of impatience. But because we are unwilling to wait, we run those lights, speeding towards pain and bad mistakes and wrong choices, when if we had just waited for God, things would be so much easier. Waiting invokes surrender. Waiting means that we have to stop trying to make things happen. Waiting means that we accept that the outcomes we desire are beyond our control. And boy, that's hard to accept, isn't it? When we wait, when we surrender, though, we're putting our joy, our peace, our lives, our happiness, our plans in someone else's hands. But the beauty of life today is that God is not just anyone. When we wait on the Lord, we are surrendering to a much higher power than ourselves or anything we can fathom. When we wait on the Lord, we metaphorically take our hands off the wheel of control in faith that whatever way God handles the situation will be desperately for our good. That even if the situations in our lives are resolved in a way that's different from the myriad of scenarios that we've played in our heads, it will work out better than we thought it could. And yes, sometimes our good means losing. Let me say that again. Some situations will mean that we will win because we lost. The things that we think we want, the things that we think are best for us, the places where we feel we should go, sometimes are not those places. And when God takes those places away, it feels like we're being punished, but no. We win by losing because God says, I know better than you. And you may think this is what you need, but it's exactly the opposite. And I'm going to stop that. Good things come to those who wait. But God's things come to those who wait as well. Not to those who lean on their own understanding, who want to go their own way, who try to make things happen on their own. Those people will only reap the confusion and the frustration and the condemnation that they are sowing. Going on your own is how you leave point A and find yourself nowhere near point B, wondering, how did I get to where I am? Going on your own is how you end up in the pig pen eating slop. Going on your own is how you end up far from everyone you know and love and wondering how you got in that perilous situation in the first place. Does that sound familiar? Who ended up in the slop? The prodigal son. Thank you, guys. The prodigal son is the perfect example. The prodigal son wanted what he wanted when he wanted it. And he got it. And point A was getting all his money. And point B was a lifetime of riches and wealth and happiness. Point A, point B, he ended up right here, broke, and eating with pigs in a pig pen. All because he could not wait. Waiting is hard. And what's so funny is there's no greater example of waiting and the frustration of waiting than in children. What do I mean? We tell children that they can't always get what they want, so what do? They become adults and decide that since they're in control, they're gonna have every single thing that they didn't get when they were kids, right? Think about it. What's the first thing we do when we're old enough? We stay up late, right? When we're children, adults told us to go to bed while they stayed up and had a party, it seems like, because that's what my kids think. My kids think that Rose is gonna have a party every time we send her into bed. Like, there's no music, there's nothing going on, but okay, sure. So, when they're children, they do that. When they grow up, the minute they can have sort of autonomy over when they go to bed, what do? They stay up late, right? We tell children that they can't have soda. What do? The second they have autonomy over their drinks, what do they get? Soda. My kids can't wait to have soda. We tell children that they can't spend all their money on toys. So what do? They do the moment they can. Spend all their money on toys, right? We are conditioned to living these lives of instant gratification to now that as adults, we're not conditioned to hear the word wait. When somebody says wait, we look at them like they're crazy. Like, I don't have to wait. I'm an adult. I'm human. But Paul constantly reminds us that we have to fight our flesh. Because humanity says we can go. But Paul says to fight our flesh, to fight against the urge to always try to get what we want, fighting against manipulating our lives and the lives of people around us to get what we want and simply just wait for God to move, like Keegan is moving right now. God's time is greater than our time, and I want that to be clear today. God's thoughts are greater than our thoughts. God's ways are greater than our ways. God is telling us we have to stop running those red lights. Because if we keep running those red lights, we're going to face all the penalties that come with it. If you run a red light right now on Sugarloaf Parkway, you're either going to get yourself penalized when the authority comes to get you, or you're going to find yourself in a situation that not only hurts you, but hurts someone else. Running red lights will almost always end up in causing collateral damage. Someone can be hurt by our impatience. Someone can be hurt because of our desire to have things our way and only our way. But if we wait on the Lord, wait till that light turns green, then the path before us, that safe and wonderful ordained path, opens up for us. Now, there might be a slow driver in front of us on that path. We might find ourselves in a little bit of traffic. We might find ourselves starting and stopping on that road. But if we let go and follow God's plan, then we are in a better place than we could ever be on our own. I'm going to leave you with this. 2 Peter chapter 3 reads, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God has been patient with us as we've done our own thing time and time and time again. But we owe God the patience of allowing God to work on all the things that we've been trying to work out. I talk about the promises of God all the time in here, probably ad nauseum, but it's because I'm a witness that the promises of God are true. So today, what has God promised you? Actually, let's back it up. How about this? All the things that you want in your heart, that point B where you want to be, have you prayed for God's intervention? All the things that you want, have you prayed for God to move and to show and to reveal the road for that? And have you waited on the answer? Because if God has promised you healing, just wait. It'll come. If God has promised you blessings that you wouldn't have room enough to receive, which he does, wait for it. It'll come. Has God promised that your later days will be greater than your former days, which God does promise that, yes, you just have to wait and it'll come. But we have to stop running red lights. We have to stop being impatient, waiting for God to move, waiting for other people to get their act together, waiting for the things that we want to come to fruition to finally come to fruition. God is telling us to have patience today, but to more than that, to surrender to God's will. Rome wasn't built in a day. You and I are still works in progress, aren't we? And if God promised that God will show up in our lives, which he does promise that, then all we need to do is wait, and it'll come. While you're waiting, though, there's work for you to do. And the work is what separates us from getting to point A to point B on the straightened path. Now, if you've ever seen one of those little kid things at one of the placemats at the dinner thingy, you'll have like one right road and you have some swiggly roads that go all over the place. If we do our work, if we pray, if we ask God to show us the way, if we humble ourselves, if we surrender, then the path from point A to point B is a lot easier than going up and down. And I'm going to leave you with this thought, and I am done. We're going to have a meeting in a couple of minutes. Some of you have been really, really patient in this place. Some of us are newer, but we all have the same goal. And as much as we've tried to do things here and maneuver this and set this up and program this and come during this and do that, have we ever just waited for God to tell us what to do? Have we ever just waited to pray and get direction on where God wants us to go together? That's my prayer. We'll talk more about it in a couple of minutes. But we want to go to great colleges. We want to have great jobs. We want our children and our grandchildren to grow up and be special. We want to travel. We have all these things. Point B means a lot to a lot of us. Stop trying to make it happen on your own. Allow God to show you how to get there. And when God shows you how to get there, follow. Now, it sounds elementary, but it's really the hardest thing in the world. Because sometimes God's path and our path are two different paths. But if we surrender, come off ours, and go to God's, how much greater will our future be? Let us pray. Jesus, you said that the path to heaven was narrow. I dare say that the path to you is just as narrow. The path to the blessings that you have in store for us. The path to the prosperity, to the peace, to the healing, to the growth is narrow. And Lord, it's probably not the way we think it should be. So help us to surrender to you. Help us to hear your voice so clearly. Help us to diminish ourselves, for us to decrease so that you can increase. So that the way will be made straight for us. So that we can get to that point A and enjoy the fruit of the journey and the destination. And Lord, we are so thankful that even when we lean to our own understanding, when we fall off the path, you're right there as that roadmap, as that sign to help us to get right back on the right road. Help us to have patience, Lord, to know that point B is promised, so it will be ours. But help us to wait, no matter what our age is, to wait. But to wait in faith, knowing that we will get there. Your servant Moses led the Israelites only so far. And then it was time for Joshua to pick up the mantle. Moses didn't see it, but Moses still kept going along the path because he knew it was promised. So Lord, we pray for this church right now. Some of us may not see what you're going to do, Lord, but we're going to move in faith, knowing that you are going to lead us exactly to where you called us to. But give us the patience, give us the endurance and the fortitude to do the work necessary to get there. We thank you, God. Help us to be patient with one another. Help us to bear with each other in love, as Paul has called us to do, to keep the spirit of unity through the bond of peace. Help us to look at each other like family. Help us to look at each other like you have an intimate place in my heart and in my life and in my space. Because only united can we do great things as a collective, with you at the center. So bless us and keep us. Let this word fall fresh on this fertile soil in our minds and hearts, and help us to be who you call us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.